The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Tomorrow, Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara talks about the idea of Hekdesh Ilui. I don't have anything specific halachadik to talk about Hekdesh Ilui. I want to talk about an interesting question. I was sitting in shul on Tzayim Gedalia. I live in Lakewood, and Tzayim Gedalia, they have a special sale of Esrogim and Lulavim at wholesale prices, cheaper prices. Not mamish wholesale, but pretty cheap. And I was thinking, should I go to buy an Esrog or not? Last year I went to buy, and I didn't have so much atzlach over there, and also I really had some learning that I wanted to catch up on. So I was sitting and learning in shul, trying to ignore the voices in my head telling me to go buy a lulav and esrog. And then I got a phone call. Somebody told me, the guy on the phone told me that he was in the place where they're selling esrogim, and he, by mistake, he dropped the esrog. And he went to the Rabbanim over there. The Rabbanim told him to call my number to see if he's chayiv to pay for the esrog that he dropped. The pitum fell off. What happened was the pitum fell off. Oh, so I asked the person, was it a nice esrog? Was it at a good price? And he said it was a very nice esrog at a pretty cheap price. So I told him he's chayiv to pay. And then a little bit later, like half an hour later, another guy called me with the same question. I asked him the same question. Was it a nice esrog? So he told me, yeah, it was a nice esrog for a good price. So I told him he's chayav to pay. And then I was thinking to myself, hey, if there's so many nice esrogim for good prices, I may as well get over there myself. And that's what I did. I went over there, and I spoke to Rabbanim, and I explained to them why I think you're chayav. So, and I'll also explain why I asked that question. I wasn't just curious to know if I should be buying a esrogim. It was a reason why I asked that question from a halacha point of view. So basically, the question is like this. First, I'll talk about the actual thing of being mazik esrog. So one of the rabbanim over there, when I was speaking to the rabbanim, and I told him, "Well, I think you chayiv," so he told me, "But doesn't the Mishnah Melech say that if you mazik esrog, if you destroy esrog, you don't have to pay the full price of the esrog? You have to pay whatever the cheapest esrog costs." So I didn't remember 100%, but he told me the Raya of the Mishnah Melech is from a Gemara, and I said, no, that Gemara has no Sheikhis, and as we'll see, the old Achronim make this tain also that the Gemara has no Sheikhis. So basically, there's a Tshuva Maramins that talks about this question of a person, not Mamish this question, Maramins talks about a case where it's on Yontiv, a person has a very nice esrog, and somebody else breaks off the pitum or is mazikin in some kind of way. So Maramin says that you only have to pay, give him back whatever the cheap esrog costs. So the cheapest esrog that could be kosher, whatever that esrog costs, that's how much you have to pay him. He brings a raya from Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara Baba Kama says that if a person steals a shor, that's a oila, and the shor dies, so Gemara Baba Kama says he could pay him back the may kevas. He doesn't have to pay him back for a shor. You can pay him back whatever a keves costs, whatever a sheep costs. So the Gemara says the reason is because since the person that was being makriv of the carbon, he could have been yoitze his chi of carbon. He could have kept his obligation by just bringing a keves. He doesn't really need the shor. He obligated himself to bring a oila. He didn't say whether it would be a keves or a shor. Since he has the choice of either bringing a keves or a shor, even though he chose to bring a shor, which is certainly more mahoder, nevertheless, since he could have been yoitze's obligation by bringing a keves, the ganav only has to pay him back for a keves, because that's the only real hanah that the person had from this shor is the fact that he could fulfill his obligation of oila, and since that obligation is able to be fulfilled by bringing a keves, so therefore the hanah that the guy has from the shor is only the shavius, the worth of a keves. So the Maramin says the same thing would apply to a person who's mazik and esrog. That since the only reason the person has the esrog is in order to be yoytzei his mitzvah with it, so therefore the person can be yoytzei his the person only has to pay the shavius of whatever the cheapest thing that he could be yoytzei the mitzvah with is. He doesn't have to pay any more because that's the only hanah that the person has from the esrog. So when the Rav who told Ovid, he told me you were wrong, the Mishnah Melech really argues on Marim Mintz, and Mishnah Melech says the Taina that I was Taining to that Rav at the time. That L'chayra, there's no comparison between Hektish and Esrik. Why? Because Allah is that Amoicher Alasi Vishlam of Loyasav Loyklam. If you sell your oil or your Shlamim, it's not considered a Mechira. You can't sell oil or Shlamim. Can't sell carbonus. If you makdish a carbon to be mechaper on you, or as a dairon for you, whatever you makdish it for, to be mekayim your nether, so that carbon is non-transferable. You can't give over that carbon to somebody else, and that carbon should work for that other person. The only person that the carbon works for is the person who was makdish the carbon the person for whom the carbon was hooktash in the first place. So therefore, since you can't sell it, the only reason that it has any shavis at all is only because the owner can use it to fulfill his obligation. But if the owner can really fulfill his obligation for cheaper, so then the shavis is not the value of the shor, it's the value of a keves. However, when it comes to an esrig, even on sukkahs itself, I could go ahead and sell my esrig to somebody else. There are other people who might want an esrig. So therefore, it has shavius of whatever a mahudr dika esrig is. That's the taina of the Mishnah Melech, and that's what I was saying to this Rav at the time. And there's many other achrayim say this taina also. The Chacham Tzvi says this taina, and the Chacham Tzvi also speaks something out which shows why the Maran Mintz didn't really apply in the case that we were speaking about in the first place. The Chacham Tzvi says that he has a raya against the Maran Mintz. What's the raya? The Mishnah says that if you sell a Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah has oino, according to Rabbanan. In other words, if the seller of the Sefer Torah overcharges, or if he mistakenly undercharges for the Sefer Torah, and he doesn't get the money that he deserves to get, there's halacha of oino. Says the Chacham Tzvi, obviously, that din of oino is the same as all the other dinei oino in the Mishnah, which would mean the price of the overcharging and undercharging is compared to the normal asking price and receiving price in the marketplace, whatever this item normally sells for. So in other words, if the moicher, if the seller undercharges for the Sefer Torah and he charges one sixth of the price less than what a Sefer Torah generally sells for, he would be entitled to be paid back for that amount. Says the Chacham Tzvi, if you say, like the Maran Mintz, so that shouldn't be the halacha. Why? Because the reason why people buy Sifrei Torah is only to mekayim the mitzvah of Va'ata Kisul Chemes Ashira Azois, or some other mitzvah. So if you say that you could be mekayim, that like the Maran Mintz, that you only have to pay the minimum amount for which you would have to spend in order to mekayim the mitzvah, so obviously you wouldn't have to buy such a mehudah dika Sefer Torah, such a beautiful Sefer Torah. You could have bought any Sefer Torah to mekayim your mitzvah. So, if so, the loikeach, who's like sort of a mazik in this case, he's a gazlan or a mazik, the Gemara compares dini ayino to gzela, so the loikeach shouldn't have to reimburse the moicher for the full price that this kind of Sefer Torah usually sells for. He should be allowed to just pay back the bare minimum price of the bare minimum Sefer Torah that's kosher. Because the only reason why you buy Sefer Torah is in order to mekayim the mitzvah with it. So why would he have to pay back the full price of a mehudr dika Sefer Torah? Says the Chacham Tzvi, no, that's not a question on the Maran Mintz, even though he ends up arguing on Maran Mintz, but he says, no. Maran Mintz is talking about the loikeach, the buyer. The buyer only wants him mekayim the mitzvah with the item. He doesn't want to sell it. He's not planning on selling it. So therefore, since the buyer is not planning on selling it, therefore, the halacha would be that the mazik would not have to pay the full amount. You'd only have to pay whatever the buyer is going to use it for, which is the mekayim the mitzvah. But the seller certainly is trying to make money off of the safer tire. And therefore, the seller doesn't have the hanav of the mitzvah. The seller has to say the hanav of whatever the selling price is for this item. So since people who are buying for it from him will buy it for the mohudr dika price, they'll pay the larger amount. So therefore, his hezek is certainly considered the larger amount. So therefore, in our case where the person was mazikit, when it still belonged to the seller, the halacha certainly would be, even according to Maran Mintz, as the Chacham Tzvi explains, halacha even according to Maran Mintz would be that you would have to pay the higher price of the mehudr dika esrig. Now, why did I ask the guy whether or not whether it was a nice esrig and whether it was a good price for the esrig? The reason is as follows: that the Gemara says in Baba Basra that lekeach klimen uman amanas levakroi. Venenas is chayes. I don't want to get involved in questions of whether or not the buyer was actually negligent. Pashtus, he's considered negligent also. If a person drops something, he's certainly considered negligent. But I didn't want to get involved in that. So I asked him whether or not it was a good price. Why? Because the Gemara in Basra is telling us that if a person buys something, if a person takes something to check it out from a seller, and while he has it, the thing, oinus happens. Something that was beyond his control. It was impossible for him to stop it. Nevertheless, he's chayev for it. Why? Because it's considered as though he already bought it. Even though he can give it back if he wants. He doesn't have to buy it. Nevertheless, since he took it into his hand, he picked it up with the intention of checking it out and possibly buying it, he's considered already to be a lekayev. It's considered as though he already bought it. The Gemara in Nedarim limits this case. The Gemara in Nedarim says that this only applies to mekach, which is considered zvina harif, which is considered to be something which will move quickly, and it's the thing is being offered at a price that it's likely that the buyer will actually take it for that price. But if it's being offered at a price that it's likely that the buyer will not end up buying it, so then the halacha is that when he picks it up in order to check it out, he's not considered a lekeach, and he will be pater from on oinsim. He will be pater on anything that happens to it which is beyond his control. He's still going to be chayiv for Geneva Vaveda, because he's having anoah from it, possibly. There are certain cases that he's chayiv for Geneva Vaveda, but he's pater on oinsim. Now, there are cases where he's going to be pater on Geneva Vaveda also, so that's why I asked the person whether or not the esrog was a nice esrog and whether it was being sold for a good price. And when the person told me yes, I knew, so I don't have to go ahead and ask him how did he break off the pitum, what happened over there, because even if it was a oinus gomer, even if there was nothing he could do to prevent it, once he picks it up, he's already chayiv because he has a din of lekeach on the esrog.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.